Let us pray. Almighty and powerful God, we come to you now in this time to listen to what you have to say to us about the Holy Spirit and our relationship to the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will speak to each person's heart in each way that they may need to hear this. And I pray, God, that you will use me to share your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One Sunday after church, a mom asked her very young daughter what the lesson was all about. Well, the daughter answered, "Don't be scared, you'll get your quilt." Needless to say, the mom was perplexed. Later in the day, the pastor stopped by for tea, and the mom asked him what the morning Sunday school lesson was about. And he said, "Be not afraid. Thy comforter is coming." In today's scripture text, we find Jesus talking to his disciples once again about his impending death. But this time, since the disciples still did not understand, Jesus revealed more of God's plan for them in the future. Jesus sensed the disciples' growing anxiety and confusion and frustration with all of this talk about him leaving them. So he tries to comfort them by telling them that God will send a comforter, a counselor, the Spirit of truth, who will be with them forever when he is gone. The Greek word for the Spirit that Jesus spoke is parakletos. I'm telling you this because the word parakletos is a word that cannot be translated using merely one word. When we examine this word, we discover the richness and the power of the Spirit that Jesus was talking about. The Greek word parakletos is used to describe someone who is called in and includes the reason why that person is called in. The word was used in everyday conversation at that time to be used as a person called in to be an advocate for someone in court or to describe someone called in to give advice for a difficult situation. A person called in when someone is depressed and discouraged to give them courage to face whatever was causing them to feel that way. Always, a parakletos was someone called in to help in a time of trouble. In the New Testament, we find that the Holy Spirit fits this description. The translation of what Jesus called the Spirit in today's text is the Counselor. At other places in Scripture, we read that the Spirit is called the Advocate, the Comforter, the Author of Scripture, Convictor of Sin, Guide, Indweller of Believers, Intercessor, Revealer, Spirit of Truth, and the list just goes on and on. So when Jesus told his disciples that God would send to them the Parakletos, they understood that this was someone very, very special being called in to help them. God sends this same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, to them. In verse 16, Jesus calls the Spirit another advocate, which assumes that Jesus was also an advocate. Jesus and the Spirit have some similar functions. For example, Jesus and the Spirit both come from the Father and are sent into the world. Jesus communicates that he was received from his Father, and the Spirit declares that he was received from Jesus. You could read that in John 16:13. If Jesus glorifies God, the Spirit then glorifies Jesus. Both of them teach, bear witness to the truth, and expose the sin of the world. And in both cases, the reaction is the same. The world refuses to recognize and receive Jesus or the Spirit. Yet calling the Spirit another advocate does not mean he is another Jesus. The Spirit continues Jesus' work without taking Jesus' place. As the Word made flesh, Jesus reveals, God through the life he lives and the death he dies. But the Spirit does not become incarnate and is not crucified for the sin of the world. The Spirit will disclose the truth about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but will not duplicate these events. After Jesus' return to the Father, the Spirit remains with the disciples, but this does not mean the Spirit replaces Jesus. Rather, the Spirit reveals the presence of the risen Jesus and his Father into the community of faith. Jesus tried to assure the disciples that they will know the Spirit is with them, even though those living apart from him and God will not know the Spirit because they cannot see the Spirit. Those who love Jesus and who obey his commands will know and will see the Spirit. Jesus teaches us that the evidence of real love is obedience. And the two are intertwined. We know all too well how there are those who announce their love in words, but who at the same time bring pain and heartbreak to those whom they claim to love. There are children and young people who say that they love their parents and who yet do not honor them, causing them grief and anxiety. There are husbands who say that they love their wives and wives who say that they love their husbands and who yet, by their inconsiderateness and their irritability and their thoughtless unkindness, bring pain to each other. To Jesus, real love is not an easy thing. It is shown only in true obedience to God. Some of us may remember that there was a time where there were no laws about child safety seats and automobile restraints. Many young children who were not placed safely in car seats or belted in their seats died in car accidents. Today, laws prohibit children from riding in a car without special seating facing the right direction and properly installed. New parents must have the seat in place before taking a child home from the hospital. A parent's love for a child is beautiful. Yet when a child's safety is at stake, it seems a parent's love is not always enough. Many parents needed a car seat and a seatbelt law to ensure the safety of their children. The same is true of our love and devotion for God and other people. Feelings are not enough. We needed laws and boundaries in the form of commands to help us love God and others. Jesus said that his followers show their love for him by obeying him. Love is more than lovely words. It is commitment and conduct. Now remember, Jesus said that those who live as though God does not exist, those who do not love God and do not obey God's commands, will not recognize the Spirit. This means that the Spirit does not force itself on anyone. The Spirit is not a gate crasher into our hearts. The Spirit does not go where it is not recognized. The Spirit waits to be received. Jesus shared with the disciples that the Spirit that would come to them would not only dwell around them, but the Spirit would also live in them, just as they would live in the Spirit. The relationship Christians have with the Holy Spirit is very intimate, so intimate that we see and feel evidence of that living Spirit in and through us. This greatly influences how we live. Others then can see the Spirit through us also. This gives the Spirit more power, more ability to assure us of its presence, to reveal itself to others through us, and to reach more people for the building of the kingdom and making this world a much better place. A man named Max Dupree related the following heart-touching story. He says, "Esther, my wife, and I have a granddaughter named Zoe, the Greek word for life. She was born prematurely and weighed 1 pound 7 ounces, so small that my wedding ring could slide up her arm to her shoulder. The neonatalists who first examined her told us that she had a 5 to 10% chance of living 3 days. When Esther and I scrubbed up for the first visit and saw Zoe in her isolette in the neonatal intensive care unit, she had 2 IVs in her navel, 1 in her foot, a monitor on each side of her chest, and a respirator tube and a feeding tube in her mouth. To complicate matters, Zoe's biological father had jumped ship the month before Zoe was born. Realizing this, a wise and caring nurse named Ruth came to me with these instructions. She says, for the next several months, at least, you're going to be her surrogate father. I want you to come to the hospital every day to visit Zoe. And when you come, I want you to rub her body and her legs and her arms with the tip of your finger. While you're caressing her, you should tell her over and over how much you love her, because she has to be able to connect your voice to your touch. God knew that we also needed both his voice and his touch. So he gave us not only the word, but also his son. And he gave us not only Jesus Christ, but also his body, the church. And he gave us the Holy Spirit, God's voice and touch that say, I love you. The Holy Spirit is always with us, even though we may not see the Spirit every single moment of every day. The Holy Spirit is there as our comforter, our advocate, our counselor, and our guide. The Holy Spirit is there feeding us the truth that we are one of God's blessed and loved children, and empowering us to live in that truth. Amen.